Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Keeping Balance in All Things, The Call to Destiny Reservists to a Divine Administration. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
This morning, I climbed the hill to experience the sunrise. How many of you did see the sunrise this morning? Yeah, so you'll know what I'm saying here. I saw an especially beautiful sight. The sun's rays were leaking out of rifts in the covering clouds, and the result was a spectacular view of a combination of shaded and sun-highlighted hillsides and buttes. Thunder Mountain stood bright golden in contrast to the dark steel gray behind it. The sky itself was a melody of blue, gray, pink, apricot, and white. As I basked in that beauty, I realized that I was looking at a naturally artistic rendition of balance. It was all there, the blending and coordination of extreme contrasts to create a scene of beauty and harmony, or, as the dictionary would state, an aesthetically pleasing integration of elements. Balance was what I saw and appreciated in nature early this morning. But balance, like life, is so much more, and yet so simple in its perfection and beauty. Serious students of the Urantia book, The Fifth Epical Revelation, realize that the reality of balance is within divine pattern, and it is part of all three levels of reality, physical, intellectual, and spiritual. In our study of the cosmology of the grand universe, we learn that Havona, the central universe and the universe of universes, has a balance between all physical and spiritual forces on its 2 billion worlds of perfection. Remember that those 2 billion worlds are each unique, different from each other, but perfect within divine pattern. What Havona has is 2 billion different manifestations of perfection of balance within the physical natural systems on those worlds, as well as within the individual personalities and their diverse forms of government and cultures within divine administration. We also realize from studying the Urantia book that within the 7 super universes of evolutionary status, there are tremendous forces used to bring balance to space energies, often described as balance wheels and balance circuits. The 7 master spirits are described as mind-spirit balance wheels of the universe of universes, an all-embracing, all-encompassing, and all-coordinating power of central location. So, when I look upon a physical manifestation of God's beauty, of balance within divine pattern, as I did this morning in the sunrise, I see much more than just what is in front of me. I also reflect upon the many layers of reality and existence, the richness of life, the magnificence of the first source and center, the creator of all balance and beauty, and the father of all personality. Years ago, when I looked at a sunrise, I contemplated upon the beauty before me and worshiped my universal father and creator. But I yearned for more understanding of the depths and height and breadth of the personal God I loved so much. And I yearned for more balance within my own personal and outer reality. Years and years ago, before meeting Gabriel, before making this complete change in my life, I struggled with having balance. I felt so compartmentalized. How many of you have felt like your life is chopped up in little compartments? How many of you felt that? Yeah. It tortured me at times. It was difficult for me at that time to talk and to live my personal religious life. To the extent that I wanted to, I struggled to express it in any way I could. It seemed like that work was one thing, my personal life was another. My values did not always fit with the dominant cultures, and those values didn't fit a lot of my family's values and my friends' values. I seemed to expect more out of life, more out of people, and more out of myself. Often I felt tortured inwardly, though I appeared to most people calm, very together. I had a great life. It was a good life. I had a career that I loved. I was surrounded by loving friends and family, and most of them were totally unaware of that restlessness that I had within me. For years I had it. I also experienced often a form of anxiety, an anxiety that I was missing something that I really needed, and yet I couldn't quite put my finger on it. There were times that I felt like I was just on the edge of sanity. And I think for most people, anyone who's really sensitive, anyone who's really, really a deep thinker and cares about what's happening in the world, that we can't help but have those moments of anxiety, those moments of restlessness. And then within us, innate within us, if we listen, there is that still voice, small voice. Sometimes it's not so still, of God. And it's a natural thing within us to want to reach and reach for more, more understanding, more perfection, and so on and so on. Now, though, I do have a life that is more coordinated. It's more in balance. It's not perfect yet, but it's much more than it was many years ago. Now every aspect of my life is connected to my religious experiences and values, and I don't feel so compartmentalized. Everything is coordinated and blended and in harmony together. It doesn't mean that all is perfect within me and for me, and it doesn't mean that I've accomplished bliss and nirvana, or that I have attained the ultimate perfection. I'm far, far, far from that. But I am progressing moment to moment, and that brings more satisfaction to me, knowing that I am moving forward constantly, continually unfolding. My life now is dynamic, and my growth is indeed accelerated. And I do personally experience an inward stability, what I wanted so many years ago. I do experience a peace that passes all understanding that Jesus mentioned, regardless of outward circumstances. A perfecter of wisdom, which is a spirit being that the Urantia book, just one of them that the Urantia book reveals, states that stability is not the result of inertia, but rather the product of balanced energies, cooperative minds, coordinated maranchas, spirit over control, and personality unification. Stability is wholly and always proportional to divinity. Now, much could be said about this tremendous truth, but to bring it down to our level today, stability within divine pattern is a reality from paradise to Havona to the 700,000 local universes and billions of evolutionary worlds within the seven super universes. That's cosmology in a nutshell. Stability within divine pattern happens on physical psychological, and spiritual levels within space and within individual personalities, celestial and mortal. What I have experienced in the past and what I'm experiencing now, since I was a small child in the past, when I look upon the magnificence and beauty of a natural world or see in the goodness of another human being, what I see and experience is the bigness, the awesomeness, and the mysteriousness of life and God and the grand universe. As I personally expand in my own mindful understanding of the Universal Father and experience His love through the threefold Spirit of God within me, I become more enchanted with life and more in love with other persons. Of course, I still have frustrations and problems, challenging situations and people that daily test my personal poise and stability. Lao Tzu, a great Chinese philosopher and theologian in the 6th century before Christ, said, "All reality is ever in balance between the potentials and the actuals of the cosmos, and these are eternally harmonized by the Spirit of Divinity." And so what you're hearing in these truths is also that in order to attain balance on whatever level we're talking about it, true balance, divinity has to be present. The human dilemma is walking moment to moment in balance when we have a vision of the potentials but have to deal with the actualities of a multitude of things that limit those potentialities from actualizing. Francis of Assisi's most important goal was not the numbers of people he influenced or the numbers that came into his order. Those were just outer reflections of success and really meant not much to him. Success to him was being able to have the patience and poise and peace to not react in a lower way to the many difficulties that came his way. For him, success was to respond divinely to every situation. That was his reach for perfection, and that is the reach of every human being who is truly seeking perfection at the level that it can be realistically attained on this world within our individual ascension statuses. Remember the 2 billion expressions of perfect worlds in Havona? Well, there are billions upon billions of expressions of perfection on a personal level within God's absolute laws of love and mercy. Jesus was the highest form of human perfection that has been expressed to this world and to his universe. But he is our example and inspiration in our own struggles to reach a balance. We're told on page 1101 of the Urantia book, "Although the average mortal of Urantia cannot hope to attain the high perfection of character which Jesus of Nazareth acquired while sojourning in the flesh, it is altogether possible for every mortal believer to develop a strong and unified personality along the perfected lines of the Jesus personality. The unique feature of the Master's personality was not so much its perfection as its symmetry, its exquisite and balanced unification. The most effective presentation of Jesus consists in following the example of one who said, as he gestured toward the Master standing before his accusers, 'Behold the man.'" We know that Jesus' life was not easy. As we study the Jesus papers, we realize as his life unfolds before us that especially from the age of 14 on, he had one difficulty, one challenge after another that came into his life. just because he bestowed upon this planet and he indeed had divinity within him does not mean that he had a life of ease with no problems. He too, as any human being on this planet, he too had to deal and struggle with those daily difficulties. In fact, he had more than many people did. And he did not promise any of those of us throughout the ages who have chosen to follow him that our lives would be easy, that just because we brought him into our lives, that we wouldn't have problems, that we wouldn't have challenges or difficulties, that we wouldn't grieve. What he promised, though, was that he would be there with us as we went through them. And what it means when he says, get rid of your yoke, take on my burden, for it is light. And a lot of people misunderstand that when they first begin to move into a spiritual path. They think, oh, life is going to be so much easier. And they have all these expectations. Now that I have celestial beings in my life, things should be a lot easier. And so all of us then have to face the disappointment of those expectations not being met. Jesus' burden that is light is the mindset we have. It's how we see each challenge, each disappointment, each difficulty, each difficult individual that comes into our lives and what we do with it. If we look at them as opportunities to love someone else, to grow and expand in our own love for God and thus for others, then it's not such a heavy burden. It all depends on what our priorities, our values are, and what our mindset is. If we come from a place of selfishness, ego, pride, fear, any of those things, a lack of faith, then it's going to be a heavy, heavy burden. There are people whose outer lives seem so easy because they've got lots of money and they don't really have to struggle and things come their way and they got a lot of personal power in the material world. And yet when you see them, their burden seems so heavy because they're carrying that internal burden of not knowing what it's truly like to be a beloved child of God. And so they carry the burdens of false power, false liberty, selfishness, etc., etc., etc. You've met people who don't have much in life. They seem impoverished on a materialistic level, and yet they have a lightness about them, a beauty about them, a joy about them. And that's because it's all in the mind, in their mindset. It's how they view life and their challenges. I was talking with Gabriel a couple days ago, and we realized that our lives are full of uncertainties. We Americans, we're really addicted to security. We want security. We want financial security. We want emotional security. And even we get counseling about having emotional security. But when we depend inappropriately too much on other human beings to give us our emotional security, we lay a terrible burden on them. We cannot depend on other human beings for that. They can enhance, bring us joy, but we can't always depend that they're going to stay unchanged in their devotion to us or the way they relate to us, or that they're going to stay forever in our lives. How many of you have felt betrayed by people because they've changed their mind about how they think about you and being with you, and all of a sudden they're no longer in your life, and you feel betrayed, devastated, lost, and then the terrible process that we all have to go through to adapt to life without that person. I think every single one of us in this room have experienced that, whether it's a lover, a spouse, a family member, a friend, whatever it is. We're going to be disappointed by the people in our lives. And if we're depending on them to give us what we need, they're going to fail us because we're loving them selfishly. We have to learn And it's through our own personal spiritual growth and as we unfold in our personal relationship with God. And as we become more stable and secure and balanced within ourselves, we don't ask that from other people. We begin to relinquish those ridiculous, inappropriate and unrealistic expectations in another human being. And then we can begin to love other people in all of their fragilities, their vulnerabilities, their imperfections. We can still love them. That's what unconditional love is. And that's the brotherly and parental love that Jesus talked about with his apostles and his disciples and what he lived and practiced moment to moment. And so how we love one person may be a different way of how we express that love with another person, given each individual's circumstances, where they're at in their own ascension process. And in true compassion and understanding, we need to know what motivates each person that stands before us. We need to try to understand why they think and respond the way they do. We Americans and others in Western civilization and in the European countries, we need to begin to ask the question on a political level, why do many, many people in the Muslim worlds think of America as the evil one rather than bin Laden? Why do millions of people think of America as Satan? And not just America, but all of those Western civilization countries aligned with America. Unfortunately, most Americans don't ask that question. And that is the only way we can respond in a higher way, in a loving way. If we could begin to sit down at a negotiating table with those who hate and fear us and say, what have we done to offend you? Whether it's on a personal level, one-on-one with a person that you're working with or in your family or your neighbor, or whether it's on a political level, a big, like the leaders of a government sitting down with leaders of another government. If individuals, groups, governments could begin to respond in balance with love rather than with the fear, hatred, retaliation, many wonderful things could happen. And it starts with each one of us whose lives are transformed by the life and the presence of Jesus. The only thing that we can be assured of, because we do not know what's around the corner. One day we may have a person in our lives, and the next day we may lose them in a car accident, as those people lost their family and loved ones in the towers, the twin towers that went down, the ones that died. It can happen so quickly. We don't know. One day we may be a millionaire and the next day a pauper. Most Americans are a couple paychecks away from being in the streets themselves. The economic stability, which we all really want because we're so addicted to it, is not very stable worldwide. How do we maintain our balance as individuals in this serious planetary situation, as well as in the very personal situations in our lives? How do we maintain that poise? What we're guaranteed, no matter what, though, is the presence of God in our lives and that he will be there. Each one of us has to discover that ourselves with our own personal experiences and what happens in our own personal, unique individual ascension. But what we have all in common then is that we have the Spirit of God within us and that we're seeking and that we do have personal experiences, but we do not have the same personal experiences. We have our humanity in common, though. There's many ways to express love for God. So the question that each one of us needs to continually ask every day, moment to moment, is, what's throwing me off balance right now? I feel like my particles are going off into 10,000 directions. Some of you may experience this, but sometimes when I meet people, it's like I can see in my inner mind's eye. And sometimes I can, it's more of a sensing, but it is as if they're shaking inside and as if their particles are going off in 10,000 directions, and I want to go and gather them all up and bring them back into them. How many of you felt that way personally? I felt that way. I feel like sometimes you're on this spinning thing going around and around and everything's flying off in 10 different directions. We're products of a culture that's crazy that way. But what does throw us off balance? First and foremost, it's a lack of awareness and faith in the Universal Father. First and foremost, then, if we do not acquire and cooperate with that fragment of the Father that's in within each one of us, we will be in continual conflict, inner conflict. When the Spirit of Truth gifted to us by Jesus when he left this planet, when that Spirit of Truth convicts us of certain truths and part of us resists the conviction, then we struggle with tremendous inner conflict and torment. I've had two-year debates with God. Yes, but, God, because I'll be convicted of certain things. Except I want, you know, there's a part of me that does wants to hang on to certain things. So I'll go through this internal debate with God. It's very uncomfortable to have that kind of conflict, so I'm much faster. It's no longer 2 years long. I don't like to suffer. One thing that I've noticed over the years in my studies of different brilliant people, whether they're in the secular world or spiritual world, but especially in the spiritual world, those visionaries, those people who've had a tremendous influence on other people in a positive way, most of those visionaries, those leaders, have had to go through a tremendous transformation and walk out of one lifestyle and way of living, one value system, into a completely different one. And in the transition of making that change, usually it's not like one day they're this way and then the next day they're something else. It is a process. Sometimes it's years, a years-long process before they finally make that transformation. But in that process, they go through tremendous inner trauma. And some people would call it maybe, oh, they're having a mental breakdown. Oh, they're going through a neurosis. Whatever it is, but there's a tremendous grieving and struggle that goes on before they make the shift and that quantum leap. Francis of Assisi, I shared with you about what he had said about the importance that he had of responding in a divine way. He went through several of those tremendous inner struggles because he kept making transformations after he left his very comfortable materialistic life of wealth and partying and womanizing and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and world traveling, and went into his self-imposed life, God imposed, whatever, how he interpreted it, of being a little brother and serving those who are poor and in need, and created this one of the most loved orders in the world now, the Franciscan movement with three levels of orders. But during his lifetime, after becoming a brother, he went through several transformations. We can never plateau out. We have to keep progressing and making those transformations, because when we begin to think we're plateauing out, we lose our balance. The only way we can remain balanced is to continually progress and grow and change and be dynamic. Once we move into what we call a static spirituality, we lose our balance. Once we think, man, we're cool, we've got it all made, we're the greatest spiritual leader, whatever we want to think, we lose our balance. In closing, I'd like to encourage you to read two sections in the Urantia book and prayerfully contemplate upon their messages. The first one is a section found on pages 1101 to 1103, and that section is called The Acme of Religious Living, and it focuses on Jesus. He was the acme of religious living. The second one is a teaching given by a brilliant Greek philosopher and theologian of Jesus' time, who became a powerful disciple of the Master, Rodin. And it is called The Balance of Maturity, and it's found on pages 1778 to 1780. Those are two beautiful sections. When you read them, after you've read them, I highly recommend that you jot down some ideas. What I'd like you to do is share some of your ideas and some of the things that came to you personally. Share that with another person. Talk about it, whoever you choose to do it with, in whatever way.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.